Reading from the fourth canto, Bhagavatam, chapter 12, text 48. Jiva Maharaj goes back to Godhead. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya Rishi recommended, one should chant of the character and activities of Jiva Maharaj, both in the morning and in the evening, with great attention and care, in a society of Brahmins or other twice-born persons. Purport. It is said that only in the association of devotees can one understand the importance of the character and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotees. In this verse, it is especially recommended that Dhruva Maharaja's character be discussed in a society of the twice born, which refers to qualified brahmanas, kshatriyas, and vaishyas. One should seek the society of brahmanas who are elevated to the position of vaishnavas. Thus, discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes the character and pastimes of devotees and the Lord, is very quickly effective. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, has been organized for this purpose. And every center of this society, not only in the morning, evening, or noon, but practically 24 hours a day, there is continuous devotional service going on. Anyone who comes in contact with the society automatically becomes a devotee. We have actual experience that many karmis and others come to the society of ISKCON and find a very pleasing and peaceful atmosphere in the temples of ISKCON. In this verse, the word dvijanmanam means of the twice born. Anyone can join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and be initiated to become twice born, as recommended by Sanatana Goswami and Hari Bhakti Vilas. By the process of initiation and authorized training, any man can become twice born. The first birth is made possible by the parents, and the second birth is made possible by the spiritual father and Vedic knowledge. Unless one is twice born, one cannot understand the transcendental characteristics of the Lord and His devotees. Study of the Vedas is therefore forbidden for Shudras. Simply by academic qualifications, a Shudra cannot understand the transcendental science. At the present moment, throughout the entire world, the educational system is geared to produce Shudras. A big technologist is no more than a big Shudra. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In the age of Kali, everyone is a Shudra. Because the whole population of the world consists only of Shudras, there is a decline of spiritual knowledge and people are unhappy. The Krishna consciousness movement has been started especially to create qualified brahmanas to broadcast spiritual knowledge all over the world. For thus, or by this activity, people may become very happy. The great sage Maitreya recommended, one should chant of the character and activities of Dhruva Maharaj both in the morning and in the evening. With great attention and care, in a society of brahmanas or other choice-born persons. Om Anganati Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Hena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. In this verse, Maitreya Muni is explaining more about the particulars of implementing the Shruti Phal of this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because for any formula to be successful, there are particular parameters or criterion that must be met. So yesterday we heard about the benefits of hearing Dhruva Charitra, hearing about the pastimes and activities of Dhruva Maharaj are extremely beneficial. Says you can get greatness, power, influence. You can acquire all these things. You become powerful, influential. Janam dehi, danam dehi, pratishtha dehi. All the things we don't want. We don't want the influence of power and position. That's a certain prabhav. But we want the prabhav of prema, love. This is called bhakti prabhav. And they say, love above power, mercy above justice. So there's nothing more powerful in this world than bhakti. It's so powerful, especially braj bhakti. And this is what ISKCON is distributing to the world. Carrying on the legacy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ISKCON is distributing Braj Bhakti. And Braj Bhakti has so much prabhav and so much influence and so much power that the richest person in the entire universe is attracted to Braj Bhakti. The most influential lady in the entire universe, the most influential and powerful lady in the entire universe is attracted to Braj Bhakti. That's how powerful this love is. So therefore we say love above power. Love is greater than power. Of course, the materialists, they say love of power. They say love of power. They love power. But we say love power, not love of power. So who is that greatest of all female personalities? None other than Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi is the richest lady in the universe. Very influential. Everyone is mad after her blessings. She's a big minister. Minister of finance. That's like everyone is mad after the favor or the grace of a big minister. Please arrange for my factory to get... Please arrange for the railroad tracks to come next to my factory. Whatever. Or please hire all the Biharis to work for the railroad. So they have different influences, the different ministers. So Lakshmi Devi is very influential, yet she leaves her position of power, she leaves her position of influence, and she comes as a prem bhikari, as a beggar. Braj prem dehi. Everyone is approaching Lakshmi Devi and saying, Dhanam Dehi. Dhanam Dehi, Dhanam Dehi. Give me money. Wealth. Everyone's begging to Lakshmi, but she is also a beggar. So how can you derive any wealth from a beggar? Does it make any sense to go out onto the street and beg the rickshaw wala, please give me 5 lakhs? It's not possible. Lakshmi is also begging. She's begging the Brajvasis, Brajvasis. Braja Prem Dehi. I have power. I have tremendous influence over the entire universe and so much wealth, but I'm empty, Shunyavan. I don't have this. This wealth I don't have. This Braja Prem. So this is what's being presented by Maitreya Muni, the Charitra, Dhruva Charitra Prabhav, the effect of hearing the story of Dhruva Maharaj that we heard yesterday, that you'll get this influence, power, greatness. And now Maitreya Muni explains the details in this verse and next verse about the Kal and Deshan Patra, the arrangement, the particulars to derive the benefit of this Shruti fall. It's not that, of course, if you just chant the Dhruva Charitra anytime, in any way, it's also good. It's beneficial. It's mangalam. Because Bhagavatam is all auspicious, all perfect, and all good. But Maitreya Muni is giving particular criterion here to derive the true Shruti fall that he's offering here. That it must be chanted at a particular kal, time, morning, pratak. Pratak means sunrise. 6 a.m. to 8:24 in the morning. This is called pratak kal. And it can get, this story again can be read, this story from Bhagavatam about Dhruva, can be read in the evening, shayan, evening time. This is the kal. And then, next verse, it gets even into specific days. Mangala Tithi, Ekadasi, Purnima, etc. Very refined. It's not so easy to derive these benefits from Shruti Puran. Shruti Puran, they mention so many types of phal and benefits that can be derived by following a particular brat, by chanting a particular stotra or stuti, or by, in this case, chanting this charitra, Dhruva Charitra. But one must be very particular about the details to get the full benefit. So here he's saying, and this is the time, it should be like this. And then he's telling Kal Desh Patra. Patra means, Desh means place. Where should this Shastra Yajna be performed? Where should this Brat be performed? Like Bhishma Panchaka Brat. It's a brat for 5 days, Ekadasi to Purnima during Kartik. There's so much benefit. But it says that this brat should be performed in Mathura Mandala. This is the recommended place to perform this brat. Although we can observe anywhere and derive benefit, Sukriti, blessings, purity, but not the full benefit. So here he's saying that the desh, the place is Vaishnav Mandala, Bhaktagan. Vaishnava Mandala, Vaishnava Sangha. We should, in the morning, Pratak or Shayan, sit with a group of Vaishnavas and chant the glories of Dhruva Maharaj. Then we'll get power and influence and prowess and all these benefits, all these phal, fruits. He's saying that in the society of Brahmanas, Vaishnava Brahmanas, because Vaishnava Brahmanas, they can give the Bhagavat Sar. Bhagavat Sar. The essence of the Bhagavatam. There are many Babas and Bapus and so many people speaking Bhagavatam. This Baba, that Bapu, whatever. They speak Bhagavatam. But they're giving the form, Bhagavat Rup, but not Bhagavat Vastu. They're giving the form of Bhagavatam. There are some shlokas, there is some chanting or describing the different sections of the Bhagavatam, Rukmini Harana, Dhruva Charitra, Prahlad Charitra, and Ajamil Charitra. It's selected chapters that they discuss over 7 days called Bhagavat Saptaha. But the benefit is very nil because they're only touching the surface of the ocean of Bhagavat. They're not distributing the jewels of the Bhagavatam. Because they're not devotees. They're not Vaishnavas. They may be Brahmins. They may be yogis. They may be siddhas. They may be gurus, acharyas in their own line. Advaitin Brahmins or whatever. But they're not Vaishnavas. They have not enshrined the Bhagavatas or the Bhagavan in their heart. Unless one enshrines, unless one installs, worships, submits to, and surrenders to Bhagavan in the heart, and his associates who are the Bhagavatas, he cannot give Bhagavat Sar. Impossible to distribute the essence of Bhagavatam. He'll give some external false representation, like a bullet, like some gunpowder without a bullet. They use in track. Makes noise. You have a gun and has some cap. There's a cap. It's called a powder cap. Inside there's some gunpowder, and when the hammer of the revolver hits the cap, it makes a spark, and that spark ignites the gunpowder inside the cap. So it goes pew, pew, very loud. Boom, boom. Like they use in movies and stuff. When they're shooting movies. There's no real bullets, but boom, big sound. And the guys go like this. So it's a blank. It's called a blank. It's not real firing. There's the cap with the gunpowder, then there's the bullet. The bullet's the dangerous part, because that's what kills you. So there's the Bhagavatam. The kind of Bhagavatam that's distributed by non-devotees is a cap. It's a cap, and they're making a lot of sound. And all it is a bunch of... You can figure it out. They're making a lot of sound, but it's only Bhagavat Rup, it's not Bhagavat Vastu. Because unless Bhagavan Sri Krishna is enshrined in the heart, and that's only possible if one's a Vaishnava, Govinda Vishram, unless the Bhagavatas and the Parampara and the Gurus and Acharyas, Mahajanacharyas, Vaishnava Mahajanacharyas are enshrined in the heart, that Bhagavat Katha Wala, he cannot give Bhagavat Sar. He cannot present the essence of Bhagavatam. He's making big noise for 7 days. And some benefit is there, but not the essence. So therefore, Maitreya Muni is saying, talk in terms, if you want the Shruti fall, if you want the Shruti fall of the Bhagavatam, then it should be this Dhruva Charitra. It should be chanted in Pratak and Shayan, morning and evening, and in the association of Dvija, Dvija Sanganam, Dvija Brahmanam, Brahmanas, in the association of Brahmanas, but any kind of Brahmana, Vaishnava Brahmanas. Because a Vaishnava Brahman, he can give the Bhagavat Sar. So these are 2 points, Kala and Desh. Then Patra. Patra means the circumstances, the individual. Patra also means the individual. Who's doing what? What time is it? Morning and evening. What's happening? Bhagavat Shravan. Dhruva Charitra Shravan. Bhagavat Shravan. Alright, what are the particulars about the person? We found out the place you should chant this or hear this in the association of Vaishnava Brahmins. But this patra also means the listener, the person who wants to get these benefits that Maitreya mentioned yesterday, prowess, influence, prabhav, etc. What must he add to the mixture? What must he add to the formula? Well, that's being said here, that he must add prayata. Prayata. This is what he must add. He must hear with great attention and care. Well, these are some of the all these things, the time in the morning or evening, and the place in association of Vaishnava Brahmins, and what are you listening to? Dhruva Charitra, or you're chanting it, and what will you derive? You'll get the Shruti fall that we heard yesterday. But there's more, there's the mental adjustment. Your body may be here, but your mind may be in outer space. It usually is. So our body is here, but our mind is in a disco last night or whatever. Or let's say the mantra rock concert, for those that are closer to home. So the presence of mind, the presence of mind is so important to derive the benefit of devotional activities. This is a devotional activity, Shravanam. Shravanam Kirtanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. Here we're talking about this Shravanadasha, hearing the Shastra. It's important who you hear from. It's also important where you hear. That's why we, Prabhupada, as he mentioned the purport, he set up ISKCON. You can say, oh, I have a set of Bhagavatams, I became a life member, I gave 29,000 rupees or whatever, and I got a set of Bhagavatams also. And I occasionally read the Bhagavatam. Well and good, very, very good. Your house is sanctified by the presence of the Bhagavatam, Krishna Sarup, Radha Sarup, and you're touching and contacting. Very good. Do continue. Nityam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. But that power, that benefit of your home reading, you can read at home for 5 years and get as much benefit as you can get by hearing the Bhagavatam in the class for 1 week. Come 1 week to the temple and see the difference. Therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he explains in purport in the Bhagavatam, he says there's an indescribable power which arises in the sarusanga. And in science, sometimes you have one element and another element, and you add a catalyst, you add one element and another element, and you make a third element, which is different than the first two elements. This is a transmutation or transformation. A new thing is created. So you have the Bhagavatam and you have you, and you read at home. You get some benefit, some progress, some increase your devotion. But when you have the Bhagavatam and you have you and you have sarusanga, satam prasangam mamavirya sambhido. Mamavirya sambhido, this samvad, mamavirya samvad, the samvid, samvad. These talks in satam prasangam, this is tight association. What does tight association mean? Tight association with someone doesn't mean I give their body. They're my sanghi. And prasangam, satam prasangam. Prasangam also means mitun, if you understand my language. Prasangam means the union of husband and wife. But here, satam prasangam mamavirya sambhido, it means that we are unified around Harikata. And when we sit with the Vaishnavas, there is so much virya, satam prasangam mamavirya, this great power. So there's you, the Bhagavatam, then there's the devotees, the Vaishnava Brahmins. And when you sit with them, something arises from that association, something very special. And that association, in order for it to be prasangam, which means, as I mentioned, union, you have to hear with prayata, this word prayata, care and attention. When you bring your care and attention into the assembly of Vaishnavas, then mamavirya sambhido, that sambha, that discussion creates tremendous virya, tremendous bhakti prabhav, spiritual power, spiritual strength, which transforms us in unbelievable ways. That's why traditionally the Bhagavad Sapta was so powerful, because it was spoken in a holy place on the banks of a river, in Vrindavan and Mathura, Haridwar, whatever, Nasik, Ujjain, Prayag, or Allahabad. And it was spoken by pure Vaishnavas. And those that went to hear didn't go for prestige. They didn't go for name and fame. They went to attain attachment to Krishna with prayata. They wanted to hear, they came to hear with care and attention. So Vishnu Chakravarti says that there's a special power which is generated in the association of devotees. And what is this power? It's called Bhakti Devi. The personification of devotion dances there. She dances there. She, in great ulas. Because Bhakti Devi is the expansion of Radharani. And Radharani is always sitting with her sakis, all different places in Vrindavan, engaging in Harikata. This is the highest explanation of Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Sambhido. Because when Radharani speaks Harikata with the gopis, they speak, they have so much care, so much prayata, so much attention, and they're so much absorbed in the Harikata that they experience union with Krishna, that he manifests there. Bhav Rup. And Krishna's Bhav Rup, he manifests and they feel, he's here. Do you see him? Yes, I see him. I feel his touch. His caress. This is the phenomenon of sadhusanga, genuine sadhusanga. That Bhakti Devi herself, the personification of Bhakti, who is Radharani's jyoti, her her expansion, she comes and enters the heart. And you walk away. When you walk away from a class, from a Bhagavatam class, you've heard from a devotee, a genuine devotee, it resonates. If you really heard, it resonates in your heart and mind for days. I can remember days of yore when we would go to these rock concerts that you had mantra rock, but there's no mantra there. But it was only rock and roll. And what happens is your brain rolls for about a week. That's why they call it rocks and rolls. First they rock you all night long. And then your brain rattles and rolls for about a week. You keep hearing guitars and drums and reverberation and echo chambers. And of course, this is all Maya and not recommended. Unless it's mantra rock. So then what echoes in your brain is Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Very good. The Holy Ghost. The Prabhupada said that. The Christian, this is a side point. The Christian said, Prabhupada in Christianity, because they're pretty big down here in South. Not in our side, but down here. And so they said, in Christianity, they have God the Father, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, Divya Bhoot. The Divya Bhoot, the Holy Ghost. So Prabhupada, this is called the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. Interesting theology that a ghost is part of your theology. A ghost is part of your theological conception. The Christian, but he's special, he's holy. The Holy Ghost. So they asked Prabhupada, the Christians have God the Father and the Son. Okay, we have God the Father, we have the Son. The Son is the pure devotee, the Guru, Jesus' Guru. But what about this Holy Ghost thing? Do we have any equivalent or parallel to the Holy Ghost? And Prabhupada thought, Holy Ghost. And then he said, what is this? And they explained something about what is Holy Ghost, which no one really knows. It's a spirit or something. So then Prabhupada said, yes, we have the Holy Ghost, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because once it gets inside of you, it never comes out. And there's nobody that can bust you. No one can bust the ghost. There's no tantric or anyone that can. If you really get the ghost, if the ghost only comes in a slight way, then you can get de-ghosted or busted or whatever. Back to the point. So this is the power that after hearing Hare Katha from advanced Vaishnavas, then it resonates and reverberates in our mind. Oh, he said like this or she said like this, and this is important. I have to get serious. And then the next day, she said like this. So this is the why Maitreya Muni is recommending this. But it's not enough to park our bodies here like you park your car in some place and pay 10 rupees. So we can sell tickets at the door. You can park here for 1 hour. 10 rupees. ISKCON parking lot. I think they have them back there. So you park your car here and then you come here in a class and park your body. So you also have to pay. I'm collecting 10 rupees from everyone after. We don't park our body here. Our body is here. We're sitting here. But the most important thing is to hear with care and attention. So these are some interesting points that Maitreya Muni is giving to the readers of the Bhagavatam to derive the benefits which he is also offering in this narration. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada, and it's quite appropriate on this new year and new day, and according to Jyotishis, as I mentioned last night, they say beginning in 2009, there'll be a whole spiritual renaissance and a spiritual awakening which will wash over the subcontinent of India. And the effect of that, there'll be a great upliftment. Because India is in pretty bad shape in a lot of, in terms of morality. economics is another thing, but we can say there's been a grand recession, which is good. We should recede from Maya. Recede means draw back. Krishna means pulling, drawing. So we want people drawn to Krishna, Karshan, Krishna. Because if we're drawn to Krishna, then we'll become blissful. Krishna Anand, Krishna Anand. So Krishna's pulling us. And ISKCON is one of those agents of Krishna's Karshan, pulling. Krishna has taken birth in the womb of the ISKCON movement, Prabhupada explained in 10th canto. So Krishna is here. And he's crawling, he's walking, now he's walking. He's not crawling anymore. He's walking and he's inviting everyone. He's trying to pull everyone. So in order for Krishna to pull everyone to his side, we have to recede or pull back or draw back from Maya. So therefore, there's a recession. So it's a very good thing. So now that we're in recession, we must make progression. So this will be this year and the next year and the next 10 years will be time for spiritual progression. Because unless you give up bad things, unless we give up bad things, we cannot embrace good things. They're incompatible. Bad things and good things don't mix. So Maya and illusory activities of sense gratification and pure bhakti and pure devotional service, they don't mix. So therefore, Krishna's arranging for a recession. Everyone step back. Everyone step back. Recede. Like we say, receding hairline. Have you ever heard such a thing? This is called the line of the hair is supposed to be here, but then as you get older, it goes do 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 do. It goes back, and then I say, hey, what happened to my hair? It receded. High tide and low tide. The water comes in, the water goes out. You see in Juhu Beach. Goes out. It's receding. So this is a wonderful arrangement. Yes, let the recession become excessive. I pray for that. Stop the sense gratification. Stop the madness. They're all pramatak. Nunam pramatak kurute vikarma. All vikarma. Because madness, when you're mad, you do any strange and crazy, abominable thing. So then Krishna has to send some heavy, you know, slap in the face. Hey, wake up. Ooh, wow, terrorists in the Oberoi. It's a rude awakening. Hey, what happened to the party? It got canceled. Oh, why is that? Because everyone's afraid of getting blown up. Oh, that's a good idea. Well, I guess we'll have... No. I guess we have to go to the Hare Krishna temple. There's no New Year's parties. Everyone's walking around with candles or something. All right, okay, there's not all the hotels are not having, let's go, all right, let's not for long, we'll just go for a minute. We'll go to the Hare Krishna temple. That's very good. Everything has a good side. It's also very bad, what happened, no doubt. It's the karma. It's a collective karma of the city of Bombay and India. And it's the individual karma of those who perished. That's their karma. It's not... A cruel thing that God is cruel. No, God is just. Whatever you do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. The Bible says the same thing. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But behind everything is Krishna. He's saying, hey, Bombay. Hey, Mumbaiites. I love you. Wake up. Stop the flesh parade. This is crazy. You're going crazy here. See what can happen? This could happen to you. So everyone's a little bit nervous. I don't think I'll go to the 5 stars. So this is good. Let's get a little nervous about death. Being nervous or anxious about death is a very optimistic attitude. It's not pessimistic. People say, oh, you're a pessimist. You're a pessimist. You're always, you know, oh, Mrityu sarvaharascham. Mrityu sarvaharascham. Krishna says in Gita, I come as death and take away everything. You guys are always talking about death and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, we're not talking about death. We don't even think about it. Dhruva Maharaj stepped on the head of death. Death came as a stepping stone. What do they say? Failure is a stepping stone to success. So for us, for devotees, death is a stepping stone to success. But for everyone else, death becomes the failure and no one succeeds. Because everyone dies. They can't step on the head of death. Death steps on their head. For the non-devotee, death steps on everybody's head. Bow down, mister. Go down. Now I'll step on your head. And see, and then with my boot, and then I'll go like this. Wiped out. But Dhruva Maharaj, the devotee, he uses the head of death for his step. So we're not worried about death. We have a positive viewpoint. So Prabhupada is, on this particular day, this purport is very interesting because he's mentioning here, he's reminding us of three glorious purposes of ISKCON. And on this new year, we can reflect upon the contribution that ISKCON has to offer to Bombay or Mumbai, India, and the entire world, and take advantage. Prabhupada is so, in one sense, there's a lot of pride in Prabhupada's purport. But it's pride based on facts. It's not pride based on illusion. Prabhupada is proud of ISKCON. Why is he proud of ISKCON? Because ISKCON is Krishna. And a devotee is proud of his Lord. A wife may be proud of her husband, or a husband may be proud of his wife. But the devotee is proud of his guru and proud of the Lord. We can have man, guru man. Guru man, Bhagavan man, pride. For ourselves, it's nothing. We should be Trina, Trina Bhav. Trina Bhav, Dainya Bhav, Trina Bhav. Trina Bhav means the feeling of a piece of grass. Trina Bhav. Srinapi Sunichena. Grass? Okay, that's Trina Bhav, but then Sunichi. Sunichi Bhav. There's Trina Bhav and there's Sunichi Bhav. That's even categorically lower than Trina Bhav. There's the grass on the ground and you climb beneath it. You get below the grass on the ground. You know, one blade of grass, Trina, is lying on the ground. You say, oh, this is a good place for me. Let me stay under here. Trinarapi Sunichena, Tilariva, Suhishana. Like a tree, I'm tolerant. Then Amanida Manidena. I don't want any regard or adar or respect for myself. No self conceit, no pride, and I offer all respects to others. So this is what Prabhupada is trying to teach us, that the reason he's speaking in a proud way in this purport is because Krishna, this movement is Krishna. It says International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is Krishna. So let's hear what Prabhupada's saying. He's saying here that he mentions three points in the purport. The one purpose of ISKCON is to organize. He says that one purpose of ISKCON is to organize. Organized discussions on the Bhagavatam. So that's being done. And Prabhupada makes a very interesting analogy here, because Maitreya Muni is talking about Bhagavad Katha, the Prabhav of Bhagavad Katha, the benefit, the fall on the Prabhav, then Prabhupada, and then that's a specific limb of bhakti, Bhagavad Shravan, which Maitreya is speaking. Then Prabhupada, he shows how ISKCON, the ISKCON society, it is like the whole society is like a Bhagavatam. Because he's saying here that if one has, because Maitreya Muni is saying, if you contact the Bhagavatam in these particular criterion, then you'll get this benefit by Dhruva Charitra, Shravan. Now Prabhupada is saying that ISKCON, the entire ISKCON and every aspect of ISKCON is like the Bhagavatam, and if you have any contact with ISKCON, anyone who comes in contact with the society automatically becomes a devotee. Because Maitreya Muni is saying, you should hear this in Pratak and Shayan. Then Prabhupada says in the purport, yes, we have Harikatha morning, noon, and night, but actually 24 hours a day, we're giving it internet access. We're giving 24 hours a day, ISKCON is giving access, we're giving eligibility to conditioned souls to contact Krishna and become purified. Not only Pratak and Shayan. Very interesting point. In every center, not only morning and evening, but practically 24 hours a day, there's continuous devotional service going on. Because Bhagavat Shravan is Navavita Bhakti. Right? Bhagavad Shravana is one of the nine limbs of devotion. So Prabhupada is saying that ISKCON, 24 hours a day, it's limbs of devotion. The whole society is a limb of devotion. Any contact with the society, come and do service, come and chant or read or hear the class or do puja or donate or whatever, that's all giving you the same prabhav as hearing the Bhagavatam. Very interesting. So he says one purpose of ISKCON is to organize discussions on the Srimad Bhagavatam so that people can hear the character of the devotees and the Lord. The Bhagavat Charitra and the Bhagavata. Bhagavat Charitra and Bhagavat. Then he says, another purpose of ISKCON is creation. One is to organize Harikatha, discussions in Harikatha. That's being done, obviously. We're taking part right now. And the second thing is, the second point that Prabhupada is making, the purport, another purpose of ISKCON is to create. It's a creation movement. What do we want to create? We want to create brahmanas. Broad-minded, pure-hearted, learned Vaishnavas. As this verse is mentioning, Dvijana. Because Maitreya Muni is giving this as a parameter for getting the Shruti file that we should hear from a Vaishnava Brahman. Dvijanam, Sangam. So ISKCON, this society, we have a mission statement to provide, organize and provide facility for discussion of Bhagavad Gita. That's one, Prabhupada mentions. And the second is to create Dvija, Brahmanas, twice born men. Seminal birth from mother and father, that's the first birth. But the second birth is the result of an interesting combination. There's Guru Pati and Veda Mata, or Veda Patni. The second birth is a combination of the spiritual father, the spiritual master, and transcendental knowledge. So, Guru Pati and Veda Mata, they combine. So the mother is Veda Mata, Vedic knowledge. So Diksha, for Diksha to be complete, the Guru gives mantra, but then he also gives Shiksha. Diksha Shikshadi. Diksha and then Shiksha. So this, when one receives Diksha mantras and the infusion of transcendental knowledge from the Guru, this combination of mother and father produces a child. So we have our father and we have our mother. Our mother is the Veda, Bhagavat, and Bhagavat Mata. There's a mother of Bhagavatam. And then we have our father. So the result is that we become bhakti children. Children of devotion. Children of God. So this is one of the purposes Prabhupada is mentioning here. Because only a Vaishnava Brahman can understand the Vedic literature. And what is the understanding? The understanding that God is great. He is the Supreme Lord. Ekalishvara Krishna Arasabhya Britya. I am His eternal servant and I should serve Him. So this is real Brahminical knowledge. This is the Paratattva. Brahmati Paramatmati Bhagavanati Shabhyate. This is the actual conclusion of Vedanta. Vedanta concludes in Prem. And Prem is expressed through Prem Seva. Here and there. Here in this realm and also in the plane of liberation, Vaikuntha. So this is the perfection of Vedanta, the end of the Veda. Prema Tattva, Para Tattva. Prem Seva of Radha Govinda Yugal, or Radha Rasa Vihari. So this is, the Brahmanas, the Vaishnava Brahmanas in ISKCON, they acquire this knowledge by Diksha and by surrender. Guru Parashraya. They embody that knowledge, they realize that knowledge, and they distribute that knowledge. So therefore there's a need for creating Vaishnava Brahmanas. So that is the second function of ISKCON. A third function that Prabhupada mentions here in the purport is that another mission, one of the other missions of ISKCON is that we are a distribution outlet, wholesale distribution outlet. We are organizing discussions for Harikatha, Bhagavad Gita. We are creating Brahmins. And most importantly, to fulfill the need of every individual, the dire need, the crucial demand of every living entity, we are distributing happiness. Prabhupada mentions, Vishram Purnam Sukhayate. Prabhupada created ISKCON to make the whole world happy. No terror, no tension, no anxiety. Happiness. Sukham. Parasukham. Anand. Paramanand. Premanand. So this is the third point that Prabhupada is mentioning. Because people do not have spiritual knowledge, they are unhappy. They're disconnected. They have to be reconnected through the via medium of transcendental knowledge. Knowledge transports us. Knowledge, material knowledge, vidya, transports us from the ocean of ignorance to the ocean of understanding. We knew nothing about engineering or computer science before we went to college. We were swimming in the abyss of ignorance of this particular science. And after 4 years or 6 years, we are called a master. Master's degree. I have mastered, to some extent, this science of engineering. So that knowledge has transported us. So transcendental knowledge, Divya Gyan, Bhakti Gyan, this is Bhakti Gyan, it transports us. It transports us from the ocean of misery to the ocean of bliss. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. So therefore, ISKCON, the distribution of knowledge, enables everyone to experience true happiness. Because that knowledge is about me. It's about me. It's about who I am. And what am I really supposed to do? And what type of activity and engagement should I be doing to find the happiness that I'm searching for? I've tried in so many innumerable ways to find happiness, joy, fulfillment, satisfaction. But every single time I fall on my face, I get kicked in the head. It doesn't work. And I try again and again and again. This way, that way, this person, that place. This birth, that birth. American birth, Indian birth. Russian birth, Japanese birth. It doesn't work. But when I get this knowledge from the brahmanas who have been created in ISKCON, and those brahmanas who are organizing and discussions in Harikatha, then when I receive that knowledge, I find out I have, the knowledge I find out about me is that I have an individual, eternal, loving relationship with Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Jiva Bhagavan Prem Sambandha. That God actually loves me. There's so many millions and billions of living entities, but I have a sarup, an eternal spiritual form. And he has an eternal spiritual form. And his associates have eternal spiritual forms. And it's been revealed to me what is my relationship by Guru Kripa, by the mercy of transcendental knowledge. This knowledge, this is what Diksha is about. Diksha and Shiksha brings one to the fulfillment of his own eternal identity. And this makes us feel happy, confident, hopeful, excited. Who's excited about life? Maybe somebody takes some drug and they get a little excited. Then it wears off. Then the downer, the hangover, whatever. Hangover, under, whatever. But this is actually uncovering the gem of love within our heart creates wonderful happiness in the heart, satisfaction. So this is, Prabhupada is saying, ISKCON is meant for this, Vishram Purnam Sukhayate, to make the whole universe happy, not just a small band of Hare Krishnas. No, the whole universe. And that means every living entity in the universe. Make the animals happy, make the fish happy, make the birds happy. Because a devotee knows how to distribute love on every level. A devotee knows how to love the animals, the birds, the trees. Because he gives them Krishna. And when the living entity is connected with Krishna, no matter what species he's in, he becomes delighted. He becomes joyful. He becomes fulfilled. You give prasadam to a dog and he starts dancing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeding prasadam to a dog and he was dancing because he's connected. Sometimes they have these psychologists, they have some kind of reconnection therapy or some bogus stuff they have. Reconnection therapy. So this is all bogus money-making stuff. But this is reconnection. Shivananda Sane walked down the Puri on his own because he couldn't wait for Shivananda. He was too slow. Shivananda was making all arrangements for him and he was traveling with 200 devotees, a lucky dog, Bhakta dog. But when Bhakta dog got near Puri, he said, forget it, I can smell the Lord. Because dogs have a good sense of smell, Gandha. He said, hey, that's Mahaprabhu, hey, bye. He started running. Because we depend on our eyes to perceive reality. But dogs see through their nose. So Shivananda Sain, when everyone, Shivananda Sain and all the devotees from Shikanda and Kalna and everywhere, Shantipur, when they got to the Ataranala Bridge, about 6 kilometers from Jagannath Temple, then they got excited and started running, and Lord Chaitanya came, and the next 6 kilometers they ran. Because they saw the Lord coming with garlands and chandan to greet them as they arrived in Puri for the 4 months of the rainy season. Because they couldn't smell Lord Chaitanya, but the dog, he smelled miles and miles before that, kilometers before that. He's running. So he got there before everybody. And when he got there, Lord Chaitanya said, oh, hey dog, chant Hare Krishna. And dog was trying something. And he said, oh, take some prasad. He started throwing coconut. Mahaprabhu started throwing coconut pulp to the dog. And dog, hop, catching in the air. The dogs have that. You can throw and they catch sometimes. So then this dog is dancing. He's taking prasadam from Lord Chaitanya. He's dancing and chanting. So this is the distribution of Krishna's prema. Animals will dance. Birds will dance. Squirrels will dance when they get prasadam. So who is the, this is ISKCON, we're distributing prema. So this is a new day and a new year. So we have to crank it up, as they say. We have to increase our organization of Harikatha. We have to create more Brahmins. And we have to distribute more happiness by distributing more prema throughout the world. These are the reminders that Prabhupada is giving us in this purport. It's so interesting. And Prabhupada, the verse is about the Shruti fall and the particulars of deriving the Shruti fall from Dhruva Charitra Shravan. And Prabhupada takes that and he sees in that, in Prabhupada's ecstatic view, he sees that this verse is all about ISKCON. This Charitra, because ISKCON is ISKCON Charitamrita, the Charitra of ISKCON. And if you have any contact with this, the characteristics of ISKCON, the Charitra, then you'll get all this, you get more Shruti fall than what Maitreya is offering in Dhruva's story. Because Dhruva is going to give you prowess and fame and all these things. But if you have contact with the ISKCON Charitra, then you'll get Krishna Prem. Prema Mahartamahan, Pumartamahan. And we'll go back to Godhead. So this is not being mentioned. Maitreya Muni is not mentioning this Shruti fall, but Prabhupada is in his purport. The whole purport is all about ISKCON. It's a wonderful glorification of ISKCON. So in this new year, we should appreciate and be grateful how wonderful ISKCON is and make it more wonderful. Just like Krishna's Leela and Dwarka is wonderful. It's Purnam, complete and wonderful. But Krishna's Leela and Mathura is Purnatara. It's more wonderful. But Krishna's Leela and Vrindavan is Purnatam. It's Purnatam Bhagavan. It's most wonderful. ISKCON is wonderful, and the activities and contribution they're making is wonderful, but let us combine and unify and make it most wonderful in this year of 2009. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So if there's any comments or questions? The question is, how can one develop more absorption in the practices of Krishna consciousness? Are you speaking of a specific practice of the Bhagavatam class or all practices?
No, all practices that include the chanting of the holy name and hearing of the holy name and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, being with you worship.
It's like a chaku, like a knife. A sharp knife cuts very fast and very effectively, but a dull knife that doesn't have a good edge, it cannot cut very effectively, and maybe not cut many things, it won't cut at all. If you have a dull knife, you can't even cut a lemon. Lemon has a thick skin. Nibu, you have a dull knife, you can't even cut the lemon. So we have to sharpen our intelligence, because our intelligence is giving the direction to the mind and senses. So our intelligence becomes sharpened by philosophical discussion and, I would say, vichara, darshan vichara, considering the philosophy. Because when we're studying the philosophy, we're hearing repeatedly of the greatness of the Lord. And we're always reminded of how far away we are from the Lord. So this philosophy creates a certain humility. The more we hear the philosophy, we become very humble, so that humility transforms into an ongoing prayer. And that prayer expresses itself through sincerity. Oh Krishna, I'm so far from perfection. I really need your mercy. Please help me hear this Bhagavatam class. And that, so then you bring a notebook and you take notes in class, because that helps you get absorbed. And later, when you're with your friends, you say, well, let me read you something from the Bhagavatam class. You can give entire classes, long classes, just on the notes you've taken from Bhagavatam class. I'm speaking from my own experience. So my whole life, whenever I'm in the Bhagavatam class, which is kind of rare because I'm a little unfortunate in some ways, but because I'm by myself or I'm giving class. But when I was in Mayapur for 1 month and I was going to classes, and later people would come to my room and I say, were you in class? Did you hear this point? And we'd have wonderful discussions based on this notebook, and everyone's getting absorbed. And all I was doing is just borrowing the information I collected from the class. That's one point. So when we sit down for japa, we say, oh Krishna, we have to be conscious of what we're doing at every moment. Krishna, I'm sitting down for japa. I'm so fortunate I received this holy name, and this holy name will take me to your lotus feet. But I fall asleep, I get attentive. Please, then again, the prayer, the underlying operating principle in all our activities is supported. The foundation of our activities is prayer, humility and prayer. Well, now because if you see, when you sit with advanced sadhakas, they take their beads and they touch the Radha Krishna head bead. We call Radha Krishna, they say Meru. But we touch to our head, and then with great reverence, with great humility, we approach the mala. It's not like, oh, you know, all right. It's like, oh, this mala is my lifeline. This mala is taking me out of this material world. It's like if you're in a well, if you fall in a kuwa, and you're down 50 feet, and you need some rope to come down and pick you up, someone has to throw a rope. So this mala is like a rope. It's a lifeline to pull us out of the material world. And it's a lifeline to tie our hearts around the feet of Damodar. It's our Damo. This mala is like our Damo. Damo means rope. To tie our hearts. This mala will tie our hearts around the lotus feet of Damodar. Damodar Charan. Rati. Be attachment. Asakti. So then we pray, oh, now please help me, Krishna, please help me. Because everything comes from Krishna. Purusham Nrishu. Ability comes from Krishna. Purusham Nrishu. I am the ability in man. So the ability to be absorbed and steady, you have to pray. We pray. Because when we study philosophy, we realize the humility is created by the philosophical understanding. God is great. He's so far. I'm so fallen. I'm so degraded and so contaminated. I'm so lazy and slow. So then you become humble when you actually analyze the philosophy. Then what? Then you pray. Krishna, I'm really fallen. Now I'm going to chant your holy name. But yesterday I fell asleep, and I'm always falling asleep. I'm so dull. Please help me. Be a little alert. Be a little awake. And it works. Prayer works. Put it to the test. Everywhere in every religious pursuit, the principle of prayer is there. Muslims, Christians, Hindus, everyone. And it works. If we have vishwas, we have to have faith. Krishna reciprocates. So there's philosophy to sharpen our intelligence. So we're always remembering our position and the position of the Lord and the prayojana, where we want to go. And then there's humility created by that philosophical understanding. And then there's prayer. And then there's sincere endeavor, cheshtita, the actions. And then you'll see a good result. It's like, I mean, in Barsana, there's one Baba that's pretty popular in Bombay. His name is Ramesh Baba in Mankutir. And every night he gives Bhagavatam class. He gives many classes, but at night he gives Bhagavatam class. And we've attended sometimes. And all the Brijvasis, local people, they come there. And everyone brings a bag, and everyone has a wooden book stand, and everyone has the Bhagavatam. And the old ladies come, like young, all different age group people, men and women, and they come in, they open their bag, they set their wooden book stand on the ground, it's about this high, they open their book, and they set it down, and then the class begins, and everyone's looking, everyone has their own Bhagavatam, and Baba's giving the class, Bhagavat Katha, and many of the younger people that can write, is the older people, a lot of them can write, they're taking notes, and it's a very studious atmosphere, very serious atmosphere. So there's not much chance to fall asleep, and everyone's really absorbed. Of course, it's dynamic katha also, that must be there, but... we have to try to be absorbed. Not just complain that I'm falling asleep and I can't get absorbed. I gave some techniques to get more absorbed, and the basic one is humility and prayer. Because when Ruchi comes, this is the complaint at the level of Anartha Nivritti, that there's no Ruchi for Katha. So you can't get, you can get absorbed in something that tastes good. Can you get absorbed in good tasting prasadam? Definitely. Definitely. Unequivocally, across, everyone will agree. Unanimous. Yes, I can get absorbed in Chapan Bhog and Jagannath Mahaprasad. Fully absorbed, Akantapuran. Akantapuran, all the way, Akantapuriya. Oh, my neck will be full. I'm really absorbed. But Harikatha, I can hardly bring it up to my knees. I take it in from down, I can hardly absorb up to my knees, but Mahaprasad. So this Ruchi aspect. So I have to pray, Krishna, please give me a taste in your holy name. Please give me a taste for hearing Bhagavatam. This is Ruchi. We're going to this. We have to go to this level, Ruchi. And on and beyond. Asakti, Bhav and Prem. So in Artha Nivritti, that's the difficult time. Laziness and Laya and all these different Akshaya, all these different things, neglect and taking it lightly, and there's so many things that are explained in Madhurya Kadambini and Artha Nivritti. But to figure out all these details, but if we don't study the philosophy properly, we lose sight. We actually lose sight of who we are and who is Bhagavan. Because Maya is always covering us. Covering, uncovering, uncovering, covering, uncovering, until we come to Nishta. In Artha Nivritti, there's a constant battle between being covered and uncovered. Maya is very much working. But in Nishta and Ruchi, then we're somewhat uncovered. We're standing in the light. And then we get absorbed in japa. We get absorbed in study. We get absorbed in Harikatha and Kirtan. I mean, Vishnath is explaining that Laya, the tendency to sleep during bhajan, is so great. This was 200 years ago, or 300 years ago, when he wrote this book, Madhurya Kadambini. He said that there's three levels of Laya, or tendency, lie, like pralaya, devastation or sleeping. And the one level is that devotees can sleep during kirtan. There's so much laziness and lethargy and tamagun inside the person's head or brain, they're sleeping during kirtan, and I've seen it. And Vishnu says that. That's one category. The tendency to fall asleep in kirtan. That's the least. Then the next least tendency is to fall asleep when chanting japa. That may be the least, but it's also the most. But to say more tendency to fall asleep. The least tendency is kirtan. And there's more tendency to fall asleep during japa. And the most tendency to fall asleep is during smaran. Nam smaran or lila smaran. You're just meditating or chanting Gopal mantra or just chanting in your mind and trying to meditate on Leela, then really knock out. You really go out fast. If you want to have a barometer or measure how much ignorance we're carrying between our ears, how much ignorance we're carrying behind our between our ears, then try to meditate. It's called smaranam. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. Try to do smaranam. read some passage of some Leela, Gaur Leela, Krishna Leela, and then say, oh, let me meditate. Let me try to recapitulate this in my mind. Lord Chaitanya is there. Can you hold that dhyan? It's called dhyan, pratyahara, dhyan. Withdraw the thoughts, fix it in one place, pratyahara, then dhyan. And Dhruvanu Smriti, samadhi. Samadhi means smaranam. Vishnu smaranam in bhakti means samadhi. Not easy. You can try it, and you say, wow, I have a long way to go. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, tyajit yanti kalevaram. Smaran, we should become expert in smaran, because that will be tested at the time of death. Remembrance. Maybe if you're paralyzed, you can't chant. But you can think of Krishna. Sometimes people say, I've mentioned this many times, devotees, oh, when he died, was he chanting Hare Krishna when he died? No, he was just, oh, that's too bad. He didn't go back to Godhead. People say like that. That doesn't mean that. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, tyajit yanti kalevaram, tam tam evaiti. It's like this, sadata bhavita. Krishna is saying, bhav, what is your smaran bhav? What is the state of your heart and your mind at the time of death? Chanting or not chanting, but what is the content of our mind? So we practice filling our mind with Krishna, nam rup gun lila. We can try. It's one of the 9 limbs of devotion. We chant our 16 rounds in front of Tulsi, then we have some time. Oh, let me try the smaranam. And you'll be surprised what happens. And they're all limbs of devotion, right? Smaranam, archanam, vandanam. So all the ones we're familiar with, because they're more gross activities. Archanam is the body and senses, and vandanam is prayers and speaking. And then dasyam is serving, and friendship is a more intimate serving, and then surrendering everything. But this smaranam, this is the elusive aspect, the mysterious aspect of our being, the mental plane, the mind. Well, this is the main pivot point of yoga, is the mind. So we should not neglect the mental development, mental culture. In Krishna Samhita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains 5 levels of culture for the devotee. One is physical culture. We have to be healthy to do bhajan. And then he says physical culture, mental culture. There's different levels. So they're all necessary in the development of bhakti sadhana. Some other question? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's a translation of one song called Sharanagati. Forget the past that sleeps, and never the future dream at all. Deal with times that are with ye, and progress ye shall call. This is Old English, 18th century. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, it's an English translation, poetic Old English translation, of a bhajan from Sharanagati. There's many bhajans of this category called Sharanagati, the surrender. So Bhaktivinoda is saying, forget the past. Don't dream and worry about the future. Be here now. Be the eternal present. The spiritual world is called the eternal present. Live in the eternal present. There's no lamentation, there's no hankering. Nasochati nakanchati. Samasarvesha bhuteshu madbhaktim navateparam. My bhakta, he doesn't hanker. The old days, oh, those were happy days on Second Avenue. Okay, Prabhupada said that. On Second Avenue, those were happy days. So, that doesn't mean that was the only happy days Prabhupada had. There's a movie called Happy Days on Second Avenue. So it was small, it was an intimate group, it was a family group. There's only 9 devotees. No, there were happy days. Less headaches, only 9 headaches. Then when ISKCON expanded, there were also happy days, but now Prabhupada had 5,000 headaches. So if you have 5,000 headaches, maybe it diminishes your happiness, no? But this is eternal present. ISKCON is existing in the eternal present. We should never think. What we're doing now is eternal activity. Bhakti is eternal. This is a movement of bhakti. Past, we did bhakti, in the future we'll do bhakti. Now we're doing bhakti. There's no need for hankering and lamenting. The past and this, that. This is everything. It's always positive. It's always progressive. If we're Krishna conscious and we see everything as positive and progressive. So there's a negative quotient and a positive quotient. So our Guru Maharaj, the founder of this movement, was the personification of positive thinking. Srila Prabhupada was the personification of positive thinking. I never saw Prabhupada being negative for one second. He was positive, and he had the ability to encourage every devotee to go forward and progress. And he could encourage not only devotees, but even so-called undiscovered devotees, professors, scientists, etc. And he encouraged them. They left. Prabhupada would cut them in 100 pieces philosophically, destroy all their misconceptions and doubts and illusions, and then put them all back together again. And then when they left, they were shaking hands with Prabhupada and laughing. They actually loved Prabhupada. I did interviews in 1981 for 1 year. I was here also in July or so in Bombay. Then I went back to London, to England, with Janmasthami. I interviewed 500 people for Leelamrita, volume 5 and 6. And so many karmis I interviewed in London and the policemen and this. And they're all, when they would start talking about Prabhupada, they would start smiling and laughing. Some would start crying. Oh, he was such a wonderful person. So this is, we want to, this, someone has a negative view, or he's finding points, but this is not our Prabhupada's mood. Everyone knows the fault. Everyone has faults. But this doesn't progress anything. It's different. I'm different. I should become a newer person every day. It's a new year, but am I a new person? Today's a new day and a new year, but I am a new person. Do I have a new outlook? Have I discarded my negative outlook? Have I discarded my worm-like body and assumed my butterfly form? Butterfly is very beautiful, and it flies around and enjoys the nectar of the flowers. The worm is just crawling up, eating dry neem leaves. Worms, they just, these little worm-type things, they just eat neem leaves and all kinds of bitter things. But then he becomes a butterfly. He says, hey, forget that, man. Forget that. Now I'm a moth. Now I'm a patang. I'm not going to eat leaves anymore. I'm going to drink nectar. So we should throw this today. We should throw away our caterpillar body. We call it caterpillar. These little guys that crawl up and 1,000 legs and eat leaves, and it's called metamorphosis. Metamorph. Metamorph means change of form. Morph means morphology. We should do a metamorphosis. Cast off the old body, just like Brahma. His mental body was wrong. It's called his Abhiman Deha. His Abhiman Deha was corrupted, because he was attracted to his daughter, this second canto of Bhagavatam. So he rejected that mentality, that Abhiman. He said, this is not progressive. This is not positive. He threw it aside. Everyone knows the Bhagavatam. It's Abhiman Deha. He discarded, hey, this is wrong mentality. So this type of negative mentality or negative thinking, this should be cast away. Bhima's going to put a big dustbin out there by the door, and everyone can drop their worms over there. The worm can. Everyone can drop their caterpillars over there and go out the front door with your new patang, your new butterfly form, metamorph. Because carrying these kind of conceptions and carrying these kind of ideas is not pleasing to the Lord. Love me, love my dog. So the devotees, you have to appreciate. This is the Madhyama Adhikari. This is Kanishtha Adhikari idea. Madhyama Adhikari, he appreciates the devotees. Big, small, good, bad, he appreciates them. And he shows his appreciation by his loving dealings, by his kind dealings, and his considerate dealings, and he tries to push them forward. Go higher. Age koro, go more, go higher. And one should, in other words, if I tell you have a spot on your face, well, I already know, so you're not telling me anything new. Why don't you tell me how to remember Krishna? So an agent of negativity is not doing anything good. Because we're not blind. Everyone can see what the reality is. So we should be reminded of Krishna and the positive aspect. I don't see value in emphasizing negative things. I mean, we're not like ostriches, which is an Australian bird that puts his head in the hole when there's danger. Big bird, ostrich. He sees a tiger and then he puts his head inside a hole in the ground. Oh, I'm safe. And then he gets eaten by the tiger. It's a big fat bird, Australian ostrich. So we're not putting our head in the ground and ignoring the anomalies or the difficulties. We're addressing them. And the best way to purify the problems is Harikatha. And to encourage, if I sit on this asan and I make you feel bad, or make you feel negative, did I contribute something? What was my contribution? He's like, oh, yeah, well, thanks for telling me I have a spot on my face. I already know that. So you didn't tell me anything new. But tell me how to create joy in my heart, create hope in my heart, create joy, create enthusiasm to surrender. Then you're a pracharak. If you can't do that, then shut up. You think Shukadev discouraged Parikshit? Did he discourage him? Say, Parikshit, you know, you were really in Maya when you were a king. You know, he didn't discourage him. This asana is all about encouragement, utsaha, enthusiasm. When we leave the Bhagavatam class, we should be like skipping, you know, skipping and jumping. Oh, that was wonderful. Like yesterday's class was so wonderful. And we went to Bhakti Vedanta Hospital. We met Jaya Vatakamaraj and he said, oh, I was listening to your class. It was wonderful. And everyone knows. It was such, Radha Swami gave such a wonderful class. And I took some notes and I was sharing. We were talking for a few hours yesterday just on the notes I collected in class. So the pracharak has a heavy responsibility to be a lover of Krishna. Okay, 1%, but at least be a lover of Krishna. Because if you love Krishna, even 1%, I'm not saying tears shooting out of your eyes like pitchkari, holy, ho, ho, holy. Just if we love Krishna 1%, then we will love the devotees 100%. I'll repeat it. If we love Krishna 1%, then we will love his devotees 100%. And then we're qualified to sit here and speak. This is, of course, my viewpoint. By our behavior and by our speaking, then we will reveal our color. It's called rag. Rag means color, the color of the heart. This is revealed by behavior and by speaking. We say raga nuga bhakti. Okay, raga nuga bhakti. Rag means there's a color of the heart. The heart has a certain color. Rag. Rag means color. Attachment. So we can show your colors. We have a phrase like this. Show your... He showed his true colors. Red, white, and blue. Right? America. Or green. What is it? Green, brown, and red or something? Indian flag? White, green, and orange. So we're going to show our colors in a few days, right? Republic Day or something? So a devotee shows his colors, means he shows his rag by his behavior and his speech. So there should be some qualification to sit on the asana. One should come in prampara. What is this prampara? It's called the Garanga prampara. This is the prampara. This is, Garanga has come to distribute prema. So we'd be, okay, we represent 1%. Okay, you have 1%? Okay, you can sit here. We don't have 1%. Just like in the other spiritual missions, the sannyasis serve the prasadam to the devotees in the temple. Because this is considered the highest service, prasad seva. Because the parampara prasad seva began with Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya is in charge of prasadam serving. Lord Chaitanya is the head server. He's in charge of serving prasadam. He serves himself with his own hands to his bhaktas. It's such a high service. So what to speak of sitting on the vyasasana? It's an honor. It's a privilege. That's why... I can sit here. I'm allowed to sit here. I have no adhikar. It's only by the causeless mercy of Prabhupada. He's allowing us to sit on this venerable asana. This is the seat of Vyasadeva. Like, for example, one of the rules of etiquette is not to sit on... Would you go in the Prime Minister's house and sit on his seat? Never. Would you go in the court of law and go up and sit on the judge's seat? That's not our place. We don't have the adhikar. So this asana, this is a privilege that we can sit on. This is the asana of the king of knowledge. This is the asana, this is God's seat. Vyasadeva is God, literary incarnation. And we're sitting on the seat of the king, on the seat of Vyasadeva. How is it? Because we are children of the king. Dhruva Maharaj went to sit on his father's lap. Because he's the prince, Yuvaraj. And anyone else would come, he got thrown off also. But anyone else couldn't even try to attempt to sit on it. So this is such an exalted seat. So there should be some proper qualification. And I remember when we, talking about when we joined. When we joined, you weren't allowed to give class to your Brahmin initiated. You had to be a Brahmin. It means you had to be in the temple and serious, dedicated service and significant change of behavior and attitude. After 2 or 3 years, you become a Brahmin. Then you could. Then they would hear you would give some classes to bhaktas, just sitting on the in the floor, you know, the small asana. But then to sit on the Bhagavatam, Vyasa San, give Bhagavatam class, that was a very special privilege. And even to this day, we feel like that. I never asked to give class. I never, please let me give class. I never ask. I feel it's like Mahaprasadam. Someone should ask you to. I'm a sannyasi. I want to give all the classes. I have a different mood. I'm here. If you ask me to speak, I consider it my great fortune, great privilege. But my attitude is I don't deserve to sit here. So if I'm asked, then I think, okay, Prabhupada wants me to give class. So I give class. I try at least. I continually marvel at the fact that I'm sitting on this, who I was and or who I am, and that I have the opportunity to sit here in a temple of Radha and Krishna in India, and this Rasbihari Dham, and speak the Bhagavatam. It's some kind of, everyone's been hypnotized, some kind of jadu is going on here, that I'm able to come here. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And if we ever stop thinking that I'm a product of a miracle, then we stop advancing. Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Yeah.